This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Monday. Thrilled to be here. We are going to get to immigration, how to handle it the right way, how to handle it the wrong way, which we're very much doing. We'll talk about having a just, safe society that's going to go right along those lines. We'll do a bunch of emails this hour. They want to steal your organs, all that stuff. Before we get to any of that, though, you know what time it is. It is the start of the second hour on Monday, and that means it's Medal of Honor Monday time. Every single Monday is the same thing at this time. We take a Medal of Honor citation, and we read it. Now, I haven't had a long talk about this for a while, so let me do this for a minute. Heroes, or maybe hero is the wrong way to put it, but people you look up to, it is a really important part of your development, of my development, of human development. The people who are held up as, hey, look at this guy, look at this girl, look at what he did. It matters. If you constantly hold up in front of kids dirtballs and scumbags and losers, then you are going to have more kids who turn out to be dirtballs and scumbags and losers. If the people in your society who are held up are America haters, who are constantly trashing the country, America sucks, blah, 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 then we are going to have a bad percentage of people who think that way, and vice versa. If you hold up people who love the country, who do wonderful things, brave things, selfless things, then you're going to end up with more people like that. One thing that's been fascinating to me, because I'm fascinated with this stuff. How can someone charge a machine gun nest, which is essentially what this guy did, but we'll get to that in a moment. How can people do that? And so I've been fascinated by, how do you create these people? I have two sons. And believe me, I don't want them to die in combat, but how do I raise the kind of men who would jump on a grenade to save a friend? How do you raise those types of men? And every time I ask that question, I get people who email in who know men like that, or my uncle was one or something like that. And almost to a man, they will say, well, their dad was that way, or they were always talking about those kinds of things. My dad, I became a cop. I became this hero cop because that's what my dad did. It's what my uncle did. They were surrounded by these types. We should have, and I know there are great Medal of Honor museums. By the way, I heard the one in Dallas is amazing. I haven't been able to go yet. There are Medal of Honor museums and things like that around the country. That's something you need to bring your kids to if you ever have the opportunity. I know money doesn't grow on trees. Whenever I get a chance, I'm dragging my sons up there, and we're going to walk through it, and we're going to learn about it. And that is powerful. It makes an impact. Read Medal of Honor citations to your children, to your employees. You can read these at work, to your class, to your sports team. It does matter a lot. Now, Yokio Okutsu, he was in the U.S. Army, World War II. He was born in Hawaii, second generation. His parents immigrated from Japan. Now, the Japanese, obviously American Japanese during World War II, you already know about the FDR and putting them in camps, and you understand all that. Everyone understands that basic history. And so a lot of these people, with their parents in camps, said, I don't care. I want to join and fight for America anyway. I love America. And we were suspicious back then. So they generally did not get sent to the Pacific. We were, well, if they fight the Japanese, what if they join their side? It sounds ridiculous now. Didn't sound ridiculous at the time. So they would cobble together all Japanese units for the most part and send them off to Europe. They did a lot of fighting in Italy. You are aware, as I've told you before, the fighting in Italy, the Italian campaign, is one of those parts that's not talked about near enough in World War II. You know, Normandy and all this other stuff that gets all the glory and all the headlines. Fighting in Italy was freaking brutal because the whole place is mountains and rivers. It's a defender's dream. And those dirty Germans, they know how to do that kind of stuff. They're really, really, really good at it. They bounced the Italians out of there really quickly and said, okay, we'll handle this. You guys are basically useless. And the Germans had things fortified. It was tough sledding. So without further ado, he was born in Kaloa, hope I said that right, Hawaii, Yokio Okutsu, U.S. Army, World War II.
Ready, aim, fire.
Honoring those who went above and beyond, it's Medal of Honor Monday.
For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity at risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty, Technical Sergeant Yukio Okutsu distinguished himself by extraordinary heroism in action on the 7th of April, 1945, on Mount Belvedere, Italy. While his platoon was halted by the crossfire of three machine guns, Technical Sergeant Okutsu boldly crawled to within 30 yards of the nearest enemy emplacement through heavy fire. He destroyed the position with two accurately placed hand grenades, killing three machine gunners. Crawling and dashing from cover to cover, he threw another grenade. He threw another grenade, silencing a second machine gun, wounding two enemy soldiers, and forcing two others to surrender. Seeing a third machine gun, which obstructed his platoon's advance, he moved forward through heavy small arms fire and was stunned momentarily by rifle fire, which glanced off his helmet. Recovering, he bravely charged several enemy riflemen with his submachine gun, forcing them to withdraw from their positions. Then, rushing the machine gun nest, he captured the weapon and its entire crew of four. By these single-handed actions, he enabled his platoon to resume its assault on a vital objective. The courageous performance of Technical Sergeant Okutsu against formidable odds was an inspiration to all. Technical Sergeant Okutsu's extraordinary heroism and devotion to duty are in keeping with the highest traditions of military service and reflect great credit upon him, his unit, and the United States Army. That is awesome. Imagine having a rifle round bounce off your freaking helmet. That's crazy. That reminds me of that one story of, I'm gonna forget his name now. It's not Art Jackson. God forgive me, I'm going to forget his name. He's a United States Marine, a hero. He won a Medal of Honor, earned a Medal of Honor in the Pacific War, and he was a flamethrower. He had a flamethrower. He was one of those guys. Now, the Japanese may have been willing to die, more than willing to die, wanted to die for the emperor, but nobody on earth wants to burn to death. Nobody. That's no way to go. So we used flamethrowers to burn them out of caves and pillboxes and things like that. The guys who held the flamethrowers were dead meat most of the time because it's one of those things. It's like a heavy machine gun. Whenever you see one, he's going to get most of the fire because that's the thing you're trying to silence. You're going to try to stop the flamethrower guy. And Woody Williams? Is it Woody Williams, Chris? Herschel Woody Williams. Dang it, nailed it. Anyway, Woody Williams, he talked about, he was a flamethrower guy. He cooked a bunch of Japanese guys in the islands. When he was crawling, he was low crawling with his flamethrower on his back. Bullets were whizzing off of his flamethrower tank. Oh my gosh, what's going through your mind every time you hear a ping and a bullet whizzes off the tank? Actually leads me to this email. Hey, Jesse. Like your show, you're innovative, don't harp on the same topics everyone else is hashed to death. There's something I note about you that puzzles me. You seem obsessed with the glorification of war and combat. In my opinion, after millennia, mankind should have found a far better, more intelligent, and non-violent way of settling differences or even usurping power. Harold, every man is eternally the fall guy, the tool, the indoctrinated victim of those wanting wealth and power, while the power-hungry sit insulated from danger and send nameless, faceless pawns to suffer and die. They make fighting, killing, and dying seem like a glorious act, so they continue to enlist the masses to do their dirty work. Okay, I understand what you're saying. I do. I get that. And I'm not even going to say there's no truth to what you're saying. I admire bravery. Even bravery in a cause that may be a bad one. Maybe there's been dishonesty. Almost always there is in war. Maybe the men who sent the others off to die are cowardly and useless. All those things are true. Everything you just said, they're oftentimes true. But that doesn't take away from the men who do the acts, who do the deeds. I think it's awesome. I think bravery is something that is underrated. It is an admirable trait. And when I find it, I talk about it and I admire it. Now, let's talk about a just society and a brutal night in Boston. Next.
Jesse Kelly returns. Next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Monday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We got Selena Zito coming up 10 minutes from now. We'll see if she has anything to say. Liz Wheeler next hour. We'll do a bunch of emails. We still have to talk about a just society, criminality, illegal immigration, all that and so much more still to come on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Now, before I get to any of that, I have to tell you, I just have to get this off my chest. There's not even a point for this story. Well, I guess maybe there is a point, but so last week, I was in Boston. We went out to Boston to go see WRKO, hang out with them. Me, Jewish producer Chris, Corey, we all went out there. We get a hotel in Boston. But I couldn't believe how cool Boston was. For such a lefty, dirtball, commie city, very clean, very walkable. Anyway, that, setting that aside, really, really liked it. Really liked it. I'll be back. We stay in this hotel that's close to Fenway Park. It's baseball season. Now, this next part, I only heard. I don't know, but it's going to matter for the story. I heard that the Houston Astros, the baseball team who was in town, that they were staying at our hotel, that that's where they were putting the team up, which would make sense. I mean, it wasn't super luxury, but it was close to Fenway, and so it would be easy drive. It made sense, but I never saw them, and I don't know. Just put that in your back pocket. So Friday night, Chris and Corey, they go to the game. I was flying out. I had to get up at 3:30 a.m. the next morning. I was flying back home to be with Aub and the kids. So I didn't go to the game. I instead went to bed like the old man I am at 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock, I was crawling into bed, knocking out. At 12:50, woo, 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 the freaking fire alarm starts going off in the hotel with an announcement that you need to evacuate the floor. Now, it's not just like a quick beep in an announcement. It just starts, it keeps playing over and over and over. Evacuate the floor, evacuate the floor, fire alarm, fire alarm, fire alarm. Now, this part, I need to encourage kids to not be like me, because Aub was mortified when I told her this part of the story. So was Jewish producer Chris. He's such a nerd. I don't evacuate unless I personally see something wrong. Everyone's evacuating the floor. I'm tired. I have to get up in 2 hours. So I do the American thing and I open up the hotel door. I poke my head out. I'm in my underwear, by the way. I poke my head out the door. I don't see any smoke. I don't smell any smoke. I can't see anything, so I slam the door shut and go right back to my room. I grab a pillow, throw it over my head, and attempt to go back to sleep. Eventually, the alarm turns off. I'd say 5 minutes. 20 minutes later, it's 1:20 or something like that. Woo, 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 the freaking alarm starts going off again. Now, this point in time, I think, okay, maybe there's something to this. I throw on the little hotel slippers they keep in the closet, and I throw on a jacket and some jeans, and I start evacuating with everyone else. We have to evacuate the stairs, and we're going down, and they're escorting us out the back entrance of the hotel. We walk around the front of the hotel. Everyone's standing in the front. Some young girls are there. One of them's having a nervous breakdown with her parents on the phone. It's complete anarchy. So I just walk right back in the front of the hotel, and there's all these people gathered in the lobby. And I decide, I still don't see any smoke or anything. I walk right, what, Chris? It's fine. I walk right back to the elevator, hit the button, go right back up to my room, go drop all my clothes, crawl back into bed. Now the clock is ticking. I've got about an hour and a half of my alarms about to go off and wake me up, and I have to go to the airport. Another 20 minutes go by. Woo, woo, woo. Same freaking thing happened. The lesson in this for you and the lesson in this for me is this. Because we all know what happened. Some hammered Red Sox fan left the game. Hammered Red Sox fan left the game, heard the Astros were staying in the hotel, and chose to go start yanking the fire alarm to screw up the team's sleep so the team wouldn't win the next day. You've heard stories like this several times in your life. Maybe you, when you were young and stupid, you even did something like this. The lesson in it for you is this. If you ever sniff that you are staying in the same hotel as the out-of-town sports team, high school, college, pro, whatever it is worth the effort, and it is worth the money. Pack up your stuff and get out. I'm not even going to name the hotel because they didn't necessarily do anything wrong, although I would beef up security a little bit at the fire alarms. I'm never staying there again. You could give me a free room, and I would not stay there again. I'll never, ever trust it again. I am still, look, I'm 44 years old. It takes 3 or 4 months to recover from a bad night's sleep now at this point in time. My neck still hurts. You understand what it's like. You never essentially recover. I may die. I'm never staying there again. I love Boston. Never staying there again. Like I said, even if it was a free room, I'd give it to Chris because we all know he would accept the free room. Now let's talk to Selena Zito and find out if this ever happened to her. I don't know. I'm probably not going to ask her that. Let's talk about Middle America. Before we do, I want to talk to you about your dog. When I got back from Boston, Fred had a hard time controlling himself, and this gigantic ball of fur came careening out the front door, plowing into me because I had been gone for like 4 days or something like that. He acted like I'd been off to war. Isn't that wonderful? Is there anything better than coming home to your dog, making you feel like the most important person in the world? And frankly, I am. Rough Greens will keep your dog alive. Rough Greens will keep your dog healthy. It's America's number one dog supplement for a reason. Dog food is dead. That's why it's brown. So you need to sprinkle Rough Greens on your dog's food. The difference you'll just see in your dog's coat. If you don't see anything else, which you will, just the coat alone, you'll know, wow, my dog's finally getting nutrition. Try it. Try a free Jumpstart trial bag. Go to roughgreens.com, promo code Jesse, or call them 214-ROUGH-DOG. Go get your puppy some Rough Greens. Selena Zito, next.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA!
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Monday. It's wonderful because I'm here, and it's one, what, Chris? It is. And it's wonderful because Selena is here. Joining me now, my friend, wonderful writer, Selena Zito. Her book, Butler, is out. As you already know, you need to go pick up Butler. It's weird. Toby Keith was a Democrat that loved America. And that used to be a thing in this country. Selena, when did that stop being a thing?
That stopped being a thing right around the Iraq-Afghanistan war. Not in the beginning. In the beginning, it definitely was. People were come together. We had been attacked on 9/11. So there was this sense of being part of something bigger than self and protecting the homeland. But that started to fade, and people just, I don't know, they just started to being divided over everything, but patriotism was one of the first things to sort of fall, right? Don't put an American flag up or you're this ist or ism or something like nefarious.
Selena, I'm going to ask a question, but you seem like the right person to ask this question to. I've been nerding out on a lot of Vietnam stuff recently, documentaries and books. I'm so stupid. Documentaries and books and things like that. And the lying to the American people from, yes, the Kennedy administration, but most definitely the LBJ, then Nixon, the lying to the American people of that era looks to me like a huge moment in this country where the American people started to separate from their government. Did I overstate that?
No. That's absolutely what happened. That is, at that point, there was it was like a 70% support for the government, and belief in the government, faith in the government, but also in journalism. And that moment, the Vietnam War, you combine that with Watergate, and all of a sudden, everything starts to crumble. And the biggest swing away from trust in government, trust in institutions, and trust in journalism started to crumble, and pretty darn quick. If you look at the Edelman trust indicator, it's really, really good. It comes out every year. You can see how much we trusted our government in like 1970, and then how much that fell by 1980.
Gosh, that is so sad. Speaking with Selena Zito, author of the book Butler. Okay, Selena, let's focus on today. Texas Democrats are famously, you know, they're going to arrest them, or at least they've called for their arrest, and they flee to Illinois. And the party just, it looks to me, has such a bad brand, and it looks like they don't have any idea how to fix it, or if they do, they're too afraid to fix it. Does that wash with middle America where you spend your time?
Well, so I'm old, so I remember them doing this in 2003, running away from Tom DeLay. And it didn't work out. And that wasn't that long ago. I wish people had history books, right? The Democratic Party, their problem is they are unwilling to go back to being more of a champion of the middle of the country. And if you are not championing things that are important to middle class, working class voters, you will not win elections, period. And that's the place they're at right now.
What are middle class voters? What is middle America? What are they saying about Trump still? We are long past the honeymoon period here. We're past 6 months in. Are they starting to chafe? Are they as happy as they've ever been? Are they happy or unhappy, and why?
Very happy. You see that in particular in states like Pennsylvania and Ohio. I hit the road tomorrow. I'm driving cross country to get more of a feel of the other states. But you see a resurgence in the Rust Belt. I mean, I have spent my career writing about the decline of the Rust Belt. It is very, very different right now. You see manufacturing reshoring. You see the you know, people are worried about AI. I would be one of them. I'm not a robot fan. I saw Space Odyssey 2001, scarred for life. However, the building of AI data centers is going to be done in states like Ohio and Pennsylvania and West Virginia and Missouri and Indiana and Michigan, where there's access to clean energy. And those data processing centers, which most of those data processing centers are going to be used for research in universities, but also medical research, right? They're going to need power for that. They're very, very thirsty. And the only power that is going to sustain them, right, that is trustworthy, is nuclear, coal, and natural gas.
Are we going to see coal again, coal celebrated again instead of shamed? Because even Republicans don't talk lovingly about coal. They act like we're trying to send the kids back down to the mines. Coal's amazing.
Coal's amazing. I'm going down to into a mine in 2 weeks. I'll be following a piece of coal from the bottom of the mine, 1,600 feet straight down, up up to the top of the surface, processing center, on a dump truck, on a train, on a tugboat, and into a coal-fired power plant, and that one piece of coal will power an entire Main Street in 7 hours.
Speaking with Selena Zito, author of the book Butler. Selena, legal immigration.
Number one bestseller, by the way.
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. Again, the book is Butler. Legal immigration. Obviously, illegal immigration is a pretty obvious thing. American people are against that. Are you noticing, I certainly am, a real chafing against legal immigration now that our legal immigration system has been so abused? Or is that not something people are passionate about?
It's not something people are talking about, at least where I'm reporting from. In fact, there's a lot of frustration that it's not more fluid. You know, migrants coming in, being able to work on farms, then go back home. Those kinds of visas have been very, very difficult to get. And farms rely on them. They're not people that stay here permanently. They come in during the harvest season or the farming season and the calving season, and then they go back home. That has long been something I have talked about, how we need to make that more streamlined and more open so that those kinds of jobs can be filled if they're not filled by people that live here already.
Selena, John Fetterman. Is John Fetterman popular in Pennsylvania? Is he unpopular with Democrats? He'll pop up every now and then and say something sane, which makes him a bit of an abnormality with the Democrat Party today. How do they think about him in Pennsylvania?
He's wildly popular in Pennsylvania. Now, not with the far left, but with Democrats and Republicans, grudgingly, and independents. They find him refreshing, and they like that him and McCormick work together really well, which is beneficial for the state overall.
Selena Zito, her book is Butler. Thank you so much, Selena. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Now, Jesse, do you think Marxist Democrats are behind in fundraising because Act Blue is under investigation and USAID is being closely managed by Marco Rubio? Well, we've been talking about this, and we touched on this again in the opening of the show. The Democrat Party is not a 50-50 party in this country. They have appeared to be, because they take vast quantities of your money and they falsely hold up the party with your money. When you get elected as a Democrat, you understand whatever level of treasury you have access to, you have to find a way to open it up and dig your dirty fingers into it and hand it out to other Democrats. All right, let's get back. I want to talk about one of the creepier articles I've ever read in my life in the New York Times, and that's saying something. Before we get to creepy, let's get to wonderful. Memories, man. It's something that we have started to do more in our house. You know, I've told you before, we don't necessarily like to buy our kids a lot of stuff. It's not that we don't get them gifts or whatnot, but we are more of a memory family. If the choice is buying you a new phone or something like that versus, hey, let's take a weekend trip and let's go to a museum together or something, like, I'd rather go to the museum. We want to make memories. That's what our pictures are. That's what our videos are. We need to preserve those. What would you give for a video of your great-great-grandpa if you could hear him talk? If you could look at him doing something on your phone? Legacy Box will preserve your memories. They digitize your hard copy pictures. They digitize your Super 8 films, your VHS films, cassette tapes, photo negatives. Let Legacy Box digitize that stuff. Not for you, not even for you. For your kids, for their kids, for their kids. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Missed out?
Catch up.
JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Monday. Remember, you can email the show, Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. Now, I don't want to spend a bunch of time on this because it's dark, but I want to remind you that the rampant criminality from illegals and others in this country is a choice our society has made. And we know who made these choices. Illegals, lefties, commies, all of them joining forces to protect the evil people and pillage the good people. And if you reside in a place that is completely controlled by communists now, you need to get out. Did you hear the story about this guy in Somalia? Not in Somalia. He's from Somalia. He's been in America since 2006. He abducted a 12-year-old girl from her backyard, forced her into his car. I'll skip over the rest, but it did not go well for her. She was assaulted terribly. 12-year-old girl, imagine the fear. Imagine what she's gone through. He got an extremely light sentence just recently from a Minnesota court after the mosque in his area penned a letter saying he's a devoted family man who just didn't understand the culture. Do you know one of the reasons these people commit so many crimes when they come to our country? It's one of the main reasons, actually. It's not just because they come from garbage cultures like Somalia. It's not just that. And Somalia is a putrid, horrible place. It's not only that. It's because they are protected by America's communists when they get here. And they would be way more law-abiding if we threw them in cages the second they stepped out of line. Do you know that? They would be. They do these things not because they don't understand the culture. That's, of course, part of it. They do these things because America's cities, communist-run cities, have a system put into place where they know they'll be treated with kid gloves when they act like the animals they are and abuse our people. If you started making examples of these people, instead of coddling them, instead of protecting them, we would see criminality drop in America's cities at an astounding rate. Even the legals, illegals, whoever they are, we started making examples of people, you would find that the people who show up in this country as guests would mind their P's and Q's a whole lot better if they were sent to the cages where they belong as soon as they commit a terrible crime. But instead, because Democrats are the spawn of Satan, they understand wherever they are, wherever Democrats control things, these people, the animals, wherever they're from, foreign or domestic, will be protected at any cost. And that's why the criminality is out of control in blue cities. That's why illegals commit all this crime over and over again in this country, because they are coddled and protected. I'll play you one more, because it's not just foreign, it's domestic too. We talked last week about that group of animals who beat up those people after a jazz festival in Cincinnati. And the police chief came out and yelled at you and me for posting about it on social media. Their mayor... The mayor of Cincinnati, let me see, what's his name again? Aftab Puraval. I wonder what part of Cincinnati he's from. He's the mayor of Cincinnati. He was asked, the lady who was beaten unconscious, have you maybe reached out or anything like that?
I have not. I mean, look, again, this was a fight. It was a horrific fight. But as council member and others have said, we have significant other public safety challenges. We have children who are far too often the victims of gun violence. We have oftentimes far too often the perpetrators of gun violence being children. We have violent crime like every other major city across the nation.
Of course, he has to turn it into a communist talking point. Maybe you remember the police chief. Remember what she said afterwards?
Social media and journalism and the role it plays in this incident. And yes, guys, that's you. That is you. The social media, the post that we've seen, does not depict the entire incident. That is one version of what occurred.
Yeah, we got it. We got it. They act like animals because they're allowed to. Because America's Democrats, wherever they control anything, they now will protect the evil. They will protect the violent, and they will not protect you. In fact, if you make the mistake of standing up for yourself, They will come after you and they will throw you in a dark hole. This is a choice. The state of America's cities is a choice. They do not have to be full of crime, full of animals, full of homeless, full of illegals, full of a rape here and a murder there and a car theft here. That is a choice. There are cities all around the world that don't have that at all. You can send your wife out to the sidewalk and have her walk 10 city blocks at 2 a.m. on Friday night in Tokyo, Japan, one of, if not the largest cities in the world, and she will return to you completely unharmed because Japan and other places around the world, not just them, has made a choice. And part of that choice is when we find animals here who do animal things, we'll throw them in cages where animals belong. But you can't send your wife at 2 a.m. walking through Cincinnati or you'll never see her again because they elect animals, oftentimes from other countries. They elect animals and then the animals get in there and they protect the other animals who were sitting there on the streets. It is a choice. The state of our cities, the disgusting state of our cities in this country is a choice, and it's a choice made exclusively by Democrats. It's not bipartisan. It is a choice made by Democrats in this country who know their power base are animals, foreign and domestic. And so it doesn't matter what happens to good people inside the city limits. They will stand up and they will protect the animals because that's how they remain in power. And that sucks. You know, I told you I went to Boston last week. And I know Boston has a dirty commie mayor who's trying to ruin that city too. But the difference between Boston and New York for cleanliness and crime feeling was shocking to me. I didn't know. I hadn't spent much time in Boston. I didn't know. It was shocking. Why? Boston made a choice. So did New York. Let's move on. Let's talk about organ donors. We'll get to that next hour. Let's do some emails. Before we do that, let's do some chalk. Let's get some natural herbal supplements flowing through our veins. I love feeling good, man. I love being full of energy. I love how my mind feels. I like how my mood is. Don't you get down sometimes? Almost inexplicably. I'm not talking about when you're watching Old Yeller. I mean, just inexplicably, you get down sometimes. That's because our levels are all screwed up. All of us, because men, women, all of us, we're drinking synthetic estrogens. It's horrible for us. It's wrecking us. Let Chalk and their natural herbal supplements change your freaking life. And now they have a special website for you. Chalk.com, C-H-O-Q. Chalk.com/Jesse. If you have questions about what they have, hey, I want improvement on this, I want that, ask them. They will help you. They're wonderful. Thank you, Chalk, for how you are to my people. Chalk.com/Jesse. We have an hour left. Hang on.
This is an iHeart podcast.